All right. Yes, you know, just to kind of reiterate that, you don't have to come forward because of a need or a conviction or something. You come forward just to take a few minutes or get with another believer and just get down and pray and thank God together for a few minutes. There's nothing wrong with that at all. Nothing wrong with that at all. Genesis chapter 4. Genesis and chapter 4. We're going to read this. We're going to look at a couple other verses and then come back to Genesis chapter 4 and expound here. The Bible says, beginning in verse 1, "And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that every one that findeth me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, Therefore whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. Isn't that an awful, awful truth in verse 16? Just think about that for a minute. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch. And he builded a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son, Enoch. And Enoch was born Irad, and Irad begat Mehujael. Mehujael begat Methusael, and Methusael begat Lamech. And Lamech took unto him two wives. The name of the one was Ada, and the name of the other Zillah. And Ada bore Jabal. He was the father of such as dwell in tents and of such as have cattle. And his brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all such as handle the harp and organ. And Zillah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron. And the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. And Lamech said unto his wives, Ada and Zillah, Hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech, hearken unto my speech, for I have slain a man to my wounding, and a young man to my hurt. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and sevenfold. And Adam knew his wife again, and bare a son, and called his name Seth. For God, said she, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, who Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also, there was born a son, and called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. We'll not cover every single verse in this chapter tonight, but we do want to look mainly at this deal, this situation, this terrible, awful story, what happened between a man and his brother, between Cain and Abel. Here we are, four chapters in, and a brother kills a brother. And then another man turns around and kills another man. You see, sin is like that. but just doesn't take it long once it grabs hold. Doesn't take long to get down that path to destruction. That's what I want to preach about tonight, the path to destruction. I would like for you to hold your place there and just look at a few other passages with me before we come back and expound on this. I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 6. And verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So what does the word tell us? We're in a battle. We have been in a battle since the garden. Since sin entered, since man fell and became a sinner, the battle started. Hadn't ended yet. Every believer is in a battle. You've got a battle with the flesh. You've got a battle with the devil. You've got a battle with the world. We fight. We're supposed to fight every day. Now, even if you don't fight, that doesn't mean the battle's gone away. The battle has not disappeared. The battle's not going to disappear until the Lord takes us out of here. But it's up to us to make that decision every day. Am I going to fight today? Am I going to get in and fight? Well, if you're going to fight, you're going to have to know who the enemy is. 1 Peter chapter 5. This is a very familiar passage of Scripture here. Beginning in verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, okay? So be clear-minded, have your feet settled, know what's going on, and have your eyes open, because your adversary, the devil. Okay, who's our enemy? You say, well, Hollywood's our enemy. Hollywood's a tool of our enemy. You say, well, it's worldly music, that's our enemy. No, that's a tool of our enemy. It's in magazines. No, that's a tool of the enemy. Well, it's politics. That's a tool of the enemy. That could be the enemy as well, but it's a tool of the enemy. Okay, so whenever we preach against these things, we need to understand that it's what we're preaching is stay away from those things because they're tools of the enemy. But the real enemy is the devil. That's what Scripture tells us. And so when we resist him, one of the ways we do it is by realizing the tools that he works through and resisting those tools. Okay? Now, what about inward things? What about things of the flesh? You say, well, anger, that's the enemy. No, another tool of the enemy. Lust, that's the enemy. Nope, it's another tool of the enemy. You see, we need to know his tools. We need to recognize them. But we have to understand that behind them is the actual adversary, who is the devil. And it says, your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. You know, lions don't roar when they're hungry and on the hunt. They'll scare the prey away. Why do they roar? To intimidate, to scare. Satan can't have your soul if you're saved, but he'll take the next best thing and try to destroy your testimony and destroy your life. Now look, whom resists steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen you. One more before we go back to Genesis, John 10. John 10 and verse 10. Now let's go back and read verse 9. We're talking a lot about the battle. We're talking a lot about the enemy. Let's get a little help and encouragement and exhortation here. Let's talk about Christ for a minute. Verse 9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Now look what Christ says about the thief. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. It's all the devil cares about. It's all he wants to do. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. It is imperative that believers understand the battle that we are in and the enemy that we face. You hear me say a lot about the battle. You hear me say a lot about the enemy and his tactics, because Scripture sounds the warning and Scripture tells us how easy it is to be swept away if we let our guard down, if we don't keep the armor of God and keep the shield up. If we are to be vigilant, as we just read, we must know what to look for. This is all going to come together here in a minute. I was going to say, I promise you, I hope it does. I think it's all going to come together. John 10:10 lays out for us the intentions of Satan very plainly. Why then would we look at the devil and his tools, the things of the world, and think that we can dabble in them? Why would we think that we can handle it? Well, it won't do anything to me. Why would we say, well, it's not really that big of a deal. I just don't think it's really all that serious. Why would we think, well, if I just let this slide or loosen up a little bit here, I'll be okay. Put my shield down a little bit. I'm not preaching on separation right now, but I just want to bring our attention to the fact that we are under a constant attack by someone who would love to destroy our work, our testimony, and if we don't remain sober and vigilant, he will get the upper hand. That's why we've looked at all of this, and it's going to play into our response and the improper response of Cain. We have an enemy who wants to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to destroy our work and our testimony, and if we don't remain sober and vigilant and realize what his weapons are, then he'll get the upper hand. One of the tactics that the devil uses is division. To turn families against one another, husbands and wives and siblings, believers against one another, neighbors and co-workers. And today, I think we can see this tactic being used in regards to some of the things going on around our world. I think we see this tactic when it comes to this virus thing that you hear so much about. I think it's just one more tool that the devil has found a way to use to turn people against each other. People were already hostile enough. We don't need them getting mad at somebody because they won't put a mask on their face. It's just another, you know, the devil's going to try to use everything he can get his hands on. Use common sense when it comes to those things. But division is a big tool of the devil. What did we read? We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Okay? It's a spiritual battle that we're in. We need to be sober. We need to keep our eyes open and see what the weapons are and see what the battle looks like. We need to understand that the enemy wants to kill, steal, and destroy. And as I said, one of the tactics that he uses to try to destroy is division. Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3. Now here, Jesus is casting out devils, and they come and they say, well, he's of the devil. And then he turns around and says, now how could that be? How can Satan cast out Satan? But there's something that he says in here that is a principle that applies to what we're looking at here tonight. It says in verse 23, and he called them unto him and said unto them in parables, how can Satan cast out Satan? Here it is. If a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. So what we see here is this principle that we have to be of one accord. We have to not allow division in our lives, because the devil would love to come in and separate and steal and kill and destroy. And church, this is just another tool. This is just another tool of the devil that we have to keep our eyes open and safeguard our lives against this attack so that he doesn't get a foothold and start busting up the work that the Lord is trying to do in our lives and in our church and in our families. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 4. Look at what happened here. We read the account in Genesis chapter 4 of a man who went down this path to destruction, this road to destruction. We see a man who walked right down this path. And what we want to do tonight is we want to look at that path. We want to look at the steps. We want to look at the things so that we can watch in our own lives. And if we see these things rise up, we'll say, no, wait a minute, that's a tool of the devil. He's trying to destroy something here. Cain let him get the upper hand. Cain let him get the upper hand, and things didn't end well. Look at verse 3. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Church, listen, the path to destruction, what the devil wants you to do to begin with, is to disobey the word of God. That's where it begins. Isn't that what happened in the garden? Disobey what God told you to do and not to do. Now, if Abel knew what God would accept, then Cain must have known. Wasn't exactly a large population of people on the earth yet. Okay? More than four. Cain was married. Okay, more than four. Some time has passed. But I got a feeling it was not too hard to find out what God wanted. He obviously lived close to his brother. Didn't move to the other side of the country. He lived close to his brother, and his brother knew. So he must have known. How else do we know that he must have known? Because God held him responsible. Okay? If God dealt with Cain for his disobedience, then that means Cain must have known better. He must have known what God wanted, but just wouldn't bring it. When you know what God has required and you refuse to do it, you're taking that first step down the dark alleyway that will lead you to destruction. When you know what God's word says, when you know what his instruction is, when you know that God says, this is what I want you to do, or this is what I want you to avoid, and you make that first decision, no, I'm not gonna listen. You might as well just step out in traffic, because you're stepping right out into the pathway of destruction. It all begins right there. God has told me in His Word what He wants of me. Am I going to obey it? We begin on the path of destruction when we begin with disobedience. Listen, if you're sitting here tonight, you, as I look around at those who are sitting here tonight, I'm not looking at brand new Christians who are just finding out about this Bible thing. I'm looking around at people that have been saved for quite a while. Some longer than others, but everyone long enough to have a Bible in your hand and to have spent some time in it, to at least have access to what God has required us to do. You at least have it in your hand. We can know the absolute will of God. The will of God is not a mysterious thing that some would have us think that it is. Well, I just don't know what He'd have me to do. I just don't know. He gave you a whole book full of what He wants you to do, how He wants you to live for Him. And as soon as we disobey, we're headed down that path of destruction. Hold your place there and look at John 15. John 15, chapter 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Cain wouldn't have lost his joy. Cain wouldn't have had a problem if he would have just obeyed what God told him to obey. If he would have just brought the offering that God would accept. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. What do we read that for? Obedience pleases God. Instantaneous obedience pleases Him the most. Delayed obedience might still be obedience. But think about it. If you have a child and you tell them to do something, isn't it better when they do it right when you tell them, not 3 days later? I remember when I used to work in the schools, and I had, there was a teacher that I worked with, and we finally figured out how to work with one another. Well, we had a rough time because we had a different approach to education. She had a more modern approach than what I did. And she would allow so much disobedience in these children. And I would say things like, why don't you make them do what you told them to do? I mean, that's how it was when all of us were growing up, right? You didn't get to do it your way, or, you know, you wanted to go sit in the closet on a beanbag chair in the classroom and do your work on a clipboard. You sit here at your desk. And she made the comment. She said, you know what? I really don't care if they do it this way or that. As long as I get it done, as long as I get the work out of them, I really don't care how it gets done. You're teaching that kid a far worse lesson. Forget about the math you're trying to teach him. You're teaching them disobedience. You're teaching them you don't have to do what you're told. You can do it your way if you want, and we'll make it easy for you to do it your way. And then that child's going to go out into a world and get a job in a place that says, no, we don't do that here. You do it the way I told you to do it. And they're going to have a hard time living in this world because things are not tailored to their disobedience. Obedience pleases God. Quick obedience pleases God. Not a delayed obedience. The path to destruction begins with disobedience. God tells us what to do, and we say, no, I'm not going to do that. We're headed down that path. Look at verse 5 back there in Genesis chapter 4, verse 5. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Now let's look at it like this. Let's say, I don't believe this is the case, but let's say that Cain didn't know. Okay? I do not believe that's the case here. And we're not changing scripture, but let's say that Cain didn't know what God wanted. Well, after he brought his offering and it wasn't accepted, and then he saw Abel's offering that it was accepted, now he knows. I believe he knew all along. But even if he didn't, he still has no excuse, because after the offerings were made, he could have said, oh, the Lord's pleased with that. He's not pleased with this. Hey, brother, can I buy a lamb off of you? Can I trade for a lamb? Because God, he doesn't want this. He wants that. I need some of that so that I can offer it to him. So even if he didn't know, he knew after they brought the offerings, didn't he? And his choice could have been, oh, let me fix this. But no, Cain decided, why didn't he like it? What was wrong with my offering? Instead of backing up and saying, okay, that didn't work. That's not what God wanted. He was happy with that. I need to offer that to him. Would have been done. Why is it that sometimes whenever we are disobedient to God and then we see that God is not happy with our disobedience, why do we try to justify and hang on to it instead of saying, well, I was wrong. I need to go back and change that. Instead, what people do sometimes and what Cain did and what will destroy you and I in our testimony if we do it, we get angry with God. It begins with disobedience. And then the next step after disobedience on this path to destruction is to get mad at God. And how dare anyone be angry with the Almighty Creator of the universe that gave us life, who's perfect and pure and holy? Cain got angry with God. How could his anger really be with his brother? His brother wasn't the one who disregarded his offering. His anger was with God. It says, and Cain was very wroth and his countenance fell. He's going to take his anger out on his brother, but his anger has nothing to do with his brother. His anger is with God. Just like when you go out and you witness to somebody and people get mad at you and they don't like what you're saying and who you calling a sinner and what do you mean not everybody's going to heaven. When you get right down to it, it isn't you. You didn't write the book. You didn't die for them. It's anger with God. They're just directing it at you. Okay? Now look. This was between Cain and his God. That's where his anger was. But rather than admit that, I'll take it out on somebody else. You know what the problem was? Something wasn't right in Cain's heart. He was disobedient. God dealt with him. And instead of listening and doing business with God, he got mad. He got angry with God because something wasn't right in here. God deals with you. How do you do business with God? I don't like that. You want to find another preacher that'll tell you what you like? They're out there. But what we need is preachers that'll tell us the truth and what we need to hear. Well, why does it have to be like that? Because God said it has to be like that. He gets to make the rules. That's too strict. I just think that's going too far. I think that's too strict. Well, a perfect, holy God is strict. Well, I don't think it ought to be that way. I don't think it ought to be that way. God isn't interested. And we shouldn't be interested in what we think. We should be interested in what thus saith the Lord. God has a standard for His children. And that standard is good for His children. God wants things to be done a certain way because it brings Him glory, which He is due, and it accomplishes His purpose, which is the only purpose that matters, and it benefits His children because He loves us. Let me say that again. God wants things done a certain way because it will bring Him glory, accomplish His purpose, and bless His children for their obedience. We say, well, God's just doing this to make me miserable. You're telling me a God who became man and died on the cross so you wouldn't go to hell did all that just because He wanted to ruin your life and take your fun away from you? God doesn't want you to commit adultery because He doesn't want you to live your life diseased. God doesn't want you to commit fornication and adultery because He doesn't want your family to fall apart, because He wants you to have the benefits of being, of having a good, faithful spouse and you being a good, faithful spouse. God knows what sin does. God knows the pain and the anguish, not because He experienced it personally, but God knows what sin does. God knows what happens in families where each spouse has been married 4, 5, 6 times, if they ever bothered to get married, and have kids all over the place and got to pick this one up and take that one and this set of rules at this house and this way. He knows the heartache. He knows the pain. And He doesn't want that for His children. He knows if you'll keep yourself undefiled through His word, the problems you won't have. And that's what He wants for His children. His standard is for His glory and to accomplish His purpose and to benefit His children because He loves us. Stop fighting with God and His word and just let Him change you and bless you and protect you. That's what He's trying to do. Cain, just offer what's supposed to be offered and everything will be fine. You'll be right with God. You'll be right with your brother. Quit being mad. Verse 8. Let's back up. Verse 6. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? Abel's not in the picture. It's between God and Cain. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? Cain, if you do what's right, won't everything be okay? Church, let me ask you this question. When did you ever obey God and turn around and say, well, that hurt me? When did you ever do what God told you to do and turn around and say, well, that didn't work out? When did you ever obey God and then turn around and say, look at the mess that got me in? Now, how many times did you listen to the flesh, the devil, and the world and turn around and say, well, that didn't turn out right? Every time. Well, that ended up hurting me. Every time. Well, that got me in a mess. Every time. He says, Cain, if you do what's right, won't things be okay? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. Hey, Cain, if you don't obey me, if you don't do what you're supposed to do, if you don't get this thing right, you got sin lying at your door. And you know what that sin was? You're about to be a murderer. Cain, fix this thing. Because if not, if you walk out that door without fixing this thing, you got a big sin headed your way. Cain, get it right. Get it taken care of. You're on the path to destruction, Cain. Sin lieth at the door. God's warning him. He's warning him, Cain, get it right. Get it fixed. You're about to be in big trouble. I have three children that are driving. Well, I have two that have their license and one that's working on it. And Amy taught Colin how to drive. She tried to teach Alex and turned him over to me. And then I found out why she turned him over to me. And I tried to give him back and she said no returns without a receipt. And she doesn't give receipts. I tell you what, if your prayer life is suffering, teach a kid how to drive. You'll be real close to the Lord. We're in Menards backing out. This is my favorite story. We're in Menards backing out. Alex is. He's coming around like this. I don't even know what he did. I don't think he thought he was hitting the brake, because why would you put your brake on? You're trying to back up. I think he was trying to see if he could burn rubber in reverse. But man, he hits that gas and that car went right out into the, you know, where cars come through. Oh, it scared me half to death. I think I got saved again that day. And I said, you're teaching Ashton. But if you've ever taught a youngster to drive, you know what it is to say, straighten up, you're going to hit that, straighten up, you're going to hit that, straighten up, you're going to, come on, you got to turn, you got to slow down, you got to slow down. You're warning them. We've not had any accidents. They all listened. We had a lot of stops that went like this, but that's better than doing that because you hit the guy's bumper in front of you. It's a lot better. You know what God's telling Cain? Get your brakes on. Get your brakes on. You're going to wreck. You're going to wreck. Come on. Come on. Straighten it up. You got an accident coming. You got a wreck coming. He's already been disobedient. He's already gotten. Now he's getting angry with God. God's trying to tell him, you better change that countenance. You better change that countenance. You better get this thing right. You got big trouble coming. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Okay, that brings us to our next point. The path to destruction begins with disobedience. It continues with anger with God. Verse 8, and Cain talked with Abel, his brother. Hey, Cain, what are you talking to Abel for? Why aren't you talking to God? God's been talking to you. Why aren't you talking to him, getting this thing fixed? Why are you bringing Abel into it? And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. It begins with disobedience. It continues with anger with God. And then it continues with anger with others who are right with God. You ever notice how many times? I'm not even going to say, hey, do you ever notice this in other people's lives? Because what can we do about somebody else? Nothing but preach and try to encourage. But we can make changes in our own lives. You ever noticed how at times in your life, when you weren't right with God, how hard it was to get along with other believers? And the longer you went not being right with God, the harder it got to get along with people who were right with God. You ever notice that? It continues with being angry with other people who are right. Many times we fall out with others because we've already fallen out with God. Well, he didn't have a problem with Abel. What did Abel do to him? Nothing. His problem was with God. His problem was his self and his disobedience. Our problems with others are oftentimes not because of others, they're because of us. If we're right, I've said this many times, if we're right with God, how could we not be right with others who are right with God? James 4:1, whence come wars and fightings among you? He says, why are you fighting? In James chapter 4, verse 1, we won't turn there. I think we all know that verse pretty well. But he says, why do you fight with other people? It's because of your lust and because of what you want instead of what God wants. I don't like the way he did that. I don't see why she always does that. Get your eyes back on God in prayer, the word, and obedience, and it doesn't matter why he does this or she does that or he doesn't do that or she doesn't do that. You'd be so busy just trying to make sure you're walking right with God. You won't have a whole lot of time. You won't have a whole lot of time to worry about those other things. Remember, Peter wanted to know from Christ, what's John going to do? What did Christ tell him? I'll sum it up for you. In the Greek, it says, don't you worry about it, Peter. He says, what's it matter what he does? You do what I told you to do. Fall out with God, you're not right with God, it's awful hard to be right with others. And then look what happens. You notice that this story is just like David. You see all these places where Cain could have fixed it. David and Bathsheba, he had all these chances where he could have fixed it and he wouldn't. When he was disobedient and he saw that God didn't accept his offering, he could have said, oh, that's what he likes. Okay, I'll offer that. And then whenever God dealt with him, he could have said, yes, Lord, I have no right to be angry. I'm sorry, Lord. I'll make this offering to you. I'll do what you said. When he was out in the field with his brother, he could have said, now, wait a minute. Why am I mad at Abel? I'm the one that messed up. God's dealing with me because of my disobedience. Why am I mad at Abel? He had all these opportunities and he didn't. Now look at what happens. On this path to destruction, he's killed his brother. Verse 9, the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not, you liar. Lying to God. Am I my brother's keeper? Yeah. And he said, why? What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. You know what we see here that takes him further down this path? A refusal to repent. God's called him on the carpet for his sin, and he still won't repent, and he still won't get it right, and he still won't admit it. God calls you on the carpet. Church, stay on the carpet. Stay on the carpet and let him deal with you. Repent and get things right. Cain, rather than repent, tries to deny his sin. And then look what he does, what so many of us do. The Lord tells him, you're gonna farm and you're not going to have any crops. You're going to work and it's going to be fruitless. Now get this, get a hold of this. He just killed his brother. And God, instead of killing him, says, you're going to work and work and work, and it's going to be unfruitful. And look what Cain says in verse 13. Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Really? Because God could just take your life. How many times do we disobey God and then we get angry with God for dealing with us and then we get angry with other people and then God deals with us again and then we won't repent and then God has to chasten us and then we get mad about the chastisement and say, well, that's not fair. God, why does it have to be like that? Well, it wouldn't have been if you would have repented long ago. Wouldn't have been that way, Cain. Wouldn't have headed down that path. We take ourselves down the path. And then we want to know why things can't be perfect. A man, I'm not, you know, preaching on divorce tonight, but I did mention it before, I want to mention it again. A man that's on his third wife is disqualified to pastor a church. But there's a bunch of them out there that are trying to pastor churches. And they think, well, why not? Why not? Because God said not. So just get right with God and do what God allows you to do, but quit trying to do something that God said you couldn't do. Okay? That's one of the consequences. You bring a bunch of kids into the world with a bunch of different fathers. Don't expect everything. Don't expect your house to be the Cleaver household. Some stuff isn't going to work right, is it? Going to be some hard times. Going to be a kid that has one set of rules when he's with you and then another set when he's with dad and stepmom and all this. It's going to be like that for years. And oh man, why can't... Well, that's what sin does. Well, I don't like it. It's not fair. We're not talking about fairness. If we want to talk about fairness, none of us are saved because it's not fair that Christ died for our sins and we get to go to heaven on his account. So let's not bring fairness into it. Well, I can't handle it. I can't handle it. It's too much. It's too much. What Cain's saying? Cain, you killed your brother and I'm letting you live. You killed your brother and I'm not taking your life. And here Cain is saying, oh, I can't bear this. I can't bear this. I can't. This is just too much for me. Rather than repent, he tries to deny his sin, and then as many of us do, he starts to complain about the consequences that he brought on himself. When God told him before he ever... You see, it began just by not bringing the right kind of offering. And God said, you fix that and everything will be okay. And he wouldn't fix it, and he got mad with his brother, and he killed his brother. And then God says, okay, here's how I'm going to deal with you. And then Cain says, that's too much. Well, God told you what to do. He told you how to deal with it. Church, the path of destruction begins with a disobedience to God's word. It continues when we get angry with God. It continues even further when we get angry with others who are right with God. And we stay on that path as long as we refuse to repent. And if we don't, sin lieth at the door. All Cain had to do was to bring the right offering to start with. All Cain had to do was when he didn't and he saw that God didn't like it, was to bring the right offering. And then he had another chance when God dealt with him. And he got angry. He could have said, you know, what am I angry about? I did it. It's my fault. I brought it on myself. I need to fix it. But he wouldn't. He went and got angry with his brother who hadn't done anything. Abel didn't even enter into this. And he killed him. And then God said, where's your brother? I don't know. Okay, lie to God. Refuse to repent. And then God says, here's what I'm going to do to you. Oh, Lord, that's too much. That's too much. Cain's life was destroyed. And it began with that first step of disobedience. Last two Sunday mornings, I've preached about the importance of God's word and knowing it so that we can live by it. Okay? And this morning, taking heed, you can know it, but you got to obey it. Cain had all these opportunities. He knew what God wanted from him. Nope, 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 nope. I'm going to hang on to this thing. I'm going to hang on to this thing. No, I'm going to stay mad. I'm going to be justified. I'm going to be right in this thing. I'm going to hang on to this thing. I'm not going to... Hey, Cain... Get right and you'll be accepted. And everything will be fine. And then sin won't be lying at your door. Church, it's a lot easier. It's a lot easier to repent at the beginning than to be full of remorse at the end. It's a whole lot easier. When that tooth first starts bothering you, that trip to the dentist is going to be a whole lot easier than if you wait 3 or 4 months to where you can't even open your mouth without screaming. But if you're going to wait until you can't open your mouth without screaming, don't go in and get mad at the dentist because it hurts when he tries to work on it and fix it. Disobedience to and anger towards God can manifest itself in many ways, and if we don't deal with it, we're on that road to ruin. the path to destruction. Repent, get it right, move on, and serve Him with all of your might. And remember what we began with. We're in a spiritual battle, and the devil wants us to doubt God's word and disobey God's word. He wants us on that path to destruction. Well, I don't want to do anything that pleases Him. I want to be on the road that pleases my Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the work that You've done on our hearts, Lord, and we thank You for the truth of Your word and for the examples that You've given us. And we pray, dear God, You would help us to take this example of Cain and Abel, and that we would deal with things, Lord. We'd do business with You. We would be obedient to You. And when we see that we're wrong with You, we get it right so that we're right with You and we can stay right with others. And Lord, help us to see that path of destruction so that we can avoid it. We ask You tonight to work on our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.